Amen. Get your Bibles out. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Psalms 18. Man, what tremendous singing and music. Man, the stage is set. Y'all ready to kick the devil in the teeth tonight? Amen. Psalms 18, verse 34, and I'll read 37 and 38. Says, he teacheth my hands to war, so that a bow of steel is broken in mine arms. Verse 37, I have pursued mine enemies and overtaken them. Neither did I turn again till they were consumed. I have wounded them that they were not able to rise. Hallelujah. They are fallen under my feet. Is the word of God true? Go with me to Psalms 44, verse 5. It says this, Psalms 44 and 5, through thee will we push down. That phrase there means to war against. Through thee will we push down our enemies. Through thy name will we tread them under that rise up against us. One translation said of that, with your help, we'll wipe out our enemies, and in your name we'll stomp them to dust. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of the devil fighting us and us just sitting back quiet. I feel like it's a night for some stomping, for some punching, for some slamming. Come on, devil, you're not going to win when this is over. I'm going to preach to you for the next little while. The only way hell wins. The only way hell wins. Would you pray right now? Would you lift your voice? Let's ask God to do something that only he can do in this place tonight. Come on, somebody lift your voice. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, come on, somebody lift out a war cry right now. Come on, we're going to do some battle in this house tonight. Hallelujah. Clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Hallelujah. Amen. You may be seated. We have a real enemy, a living enemy with a real agenda. And his agenda is to steal, kill, and destroy. In fact, Isaiah says Satan takes prisoners and doesn't want to let them go. Our enemy will come after you. He hates you. Hell despises your relationship with Jesus Christ. He hates your authority. He despises your anointing. You will be attacked, assaulted, and assailed. Know this about our enemy. The gloves are off. There will be no sparring rounds to help you warm up. No practice rounds so you can learn the ropes. Hell will not hold back. Hell is coming at you full force. There will be no mercy. And you're going to get hit every now and then. And when you get knocked down, the key is to get back up. Turn to your neighbor and say, get back up. Hey, I might be down right now, but somebody say it with me. Rejoice not against me, oh my enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. Listen, I'm either up or I'm getting up. You may hit me, devil, but you're not going to keep me down. I'm coming out of this. I'm going to get back up. But getting back up is only half the battle. You got to get back up, and then you got to fight. Look at somebody and say, it's time for you to fight.
Well, I fought that devil once. I knocked him down, and boy, he got right back up and kept on fighting. He hit me again and knocked me down again. Well, come on, what kind of devil would he be if he only hit you once and left you alone? Come on, he's a good enemy. He's a good devil. You got to give him that. Come on. But know this, it's not a fight until you start to fight back.
If you don't fight back, you're just getting an old-fashioned whooping. The enemy works hard to intimidate us, to keep us cowering in the corner, because hell knows the only way hell wins is if you don't fight back. Paul instructed Timothy, fight the good fight of faith. He said, Timothy, you got to fight, son. He gave him no options. He offered him no alternatives. He said, there's no way to avoid it. There's no way to bypass it. Listen, if you're going to live for God, you're going to have to fight. Amen. In fact, the Bible uses fight lingo to describe our relationship with our enemy. The wise King Solomon said, there's no discharge from this war. The psalmist said, blessed be the Lord, my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. Hallelujah. Isaiah teaches us that weapons would be formed against us. Paul said, I fought a good fight. And this was not some kind of metaphor statement. He literally fought beasts in Ephesus. In 1 Timothy, it encourages us to war a good warfare. Ephesians calls us wrestlers. Romans calls us conquerors. Hallelujah. Listen, if this wasn't a battle, then why in the world did God give us armor? And the armor is for moving forward. Not one piece of the armor is for retreat. In fact, Jesus himself said it like this. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. He said, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. I've just come to tell somebody, if you don't take it by force, you ain't gonna get it. Because hell's gonna do everything it can to stop you. And the only way hell wins is if you be quiet and sit down and refuse to fight back. But oh, somebody needs to realize this is a battle. Somebody shout fight. I hope it's clear this is a battle. You're in a war. Don't feel bad about your fight. You're supposed to be fighting. You're never more in the will of God than when you're in the middle of a red hot battle. You can read your Bible, you'll never find passive language to describe our relationship with our enemy. You never hear the Lord talking about acquiescing or giving up or giving in or surrendering to the enemy or conceding to him or submitting to the enemy. There is nothing passive about dealing with the devil. You know, one of the attributes about Christians that I admire the most is that we're passive. But one of the attributes about Christians I despise the most is that we're passive. God's people have been fighters. He's called us to be fighters, not copers. We're called to be aggressive overcomers, not passive cowards. Rest assured, hell is not passive. There will be no quarter given. Your enemy has no qualms beating you down. Hell is in attack mode. So you and I have to take on that same attack mindset. Listen, recognize you will never outgrow a spiritual battle. You're always going to be fighting something, but God has a purpose in every single battle. It's not just for your survival, it's for your education. God's trying to teach us something. In fact, battles are proof that you have not yet been conquered. So if you're still fighting, that's the best news there is. I'm still standing. In fact, every battle is a chance for you to be recognized in heaven and in hell. Come on now. Even from the beginning, when God was giving Israel the promised land, he said, I'm going to bring you into a good land. I'm going to bring you into a large land. I'm going to bring you into a land flowing with milk and honey. And don't you know they were high-fiving? Man, they were fired up. Man, they were excited about that. Praise God. Now this is a revelation. We're probably going to lose it right here. They're going to start shouting on this one. But I feel like I have to do this. I was reading this, and Brother Elder, the Lord said, a land flowing with milk and honey. Why didn't he just say cows and bees? Now this is just the way my little mind works. And then I got the revelation. I got it. It was just so clear. What is milk and honey? It's cream and sugar. There's going to be coffee in the promised land. that's subject to interpretation, but he said, I'm bringing you into a land flowing with milk and honey. Man, they were fired up. Oh, pray, man, this is awesome. But then he said, oh, BT Dubs, it's the place of the Canaanites, of the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. He said, I'm bringing you to it, but you're going to have to fight for it. You got to take it from them. Make no mistake, living for God is a battle. Hey, man, recently I was reading an article about a man named Rocky Marciano. He was an undefeated American professional boxer and the world heavyweight champion in the 1950s. Marciano is the only person to hold the heavyweight title without a tie or a defeat during his entire career. At the end of his career, he was 49-0 with 43 of his victories by knockout. Marciano was never among the top boxers in terms of skill, speed, or power, but instead he was known for his determination and his grit. They said in the article that he didn't dance around like the others did. He didn't have any footwork. He just dropped his head and went in swinging. In fact, one sports writer of his time said, if all the heavyweight champions of history were put in a room, he said, I have no doubt Marciano would be the one to walk out when it was all over. Amen. And in a match known as one of the greatest fights in boxing history, Rocky Marciano was fighting a man named Ezra Charles. Now, Rocky had never been knocked down, but round after round, Ezra Charles won the round, knocking Marciano down an unheard of 7 times over the course of 8 rounds. Marciano was bleeding uncontrollably to the point the doctors almost stopped the fight. I saw a picture of him. His nose is sideways, one eye is almost shut. He's got blood all over his face. And each time Ezra knocked him down, he would look at the referee and try to motion for the referee to go ahead and stop the fight. Come on, stop it. He's done. Go ahead and call the fight, ref. The thousands of people watching the fight thought it was a humane effort on behalf of Charles to stop the fight so he wouldn't have to keep punishing the bleeding and wounded Marciano. But the referee would check with Marciano and determine that he was able to continue. And then in round 8, Marciano knocked Ezra Charles out cold and won the fight. In an interview after the fight, a reporter commended Charles on his attempts to stop the fight in order to stop the punishment. But Charles's reply shocked the reporter. He said, oh no, I wasn't being humane. He said, I know Rocky, and I knew that if he keeps getting up, eventually he's going to knock him out. I was trying to get the referee to stop the fight before that happened. Rocky had the grit and grace to hang on and keep fighting when everything seemed lost. It was sheer, stubborn determination that made him get back up and fight. And Charles knew, the only way I can win is if Rocky stops fighting. Well, we've come to let you know, the only way hell wins is if you stop fighting. I'm not here to encourage you or uplift you. I have one goal tonight. I've got one purpose. I'm here to incite somebody to fight. I'm here to preach some fight back into somebody. It's fight night in Little Rock, Arkansas. I'm here to provoke somebody to come out swinging, to get up fighting mad, to challenge you to keep on fighting. To the one that feels like you're the devil's favorite punching bag. To the one who gets in the car all by yourself and comes to church alone. To that faithful saint who has come forward for prayer so long that you've forgotten how it feels not to ask for prayer. To the one who lives in a home plagued with alcoholism or abuse. To that precious soul still waiting on your promise. To that backslider who feels you can never be restored. To every pastor and pastor's wife in this house that feels defeated and broken. To those that have been backed into a corner by the devil. To those that have been intimidated by the enemy. I have a declaration to make. Let's get ready to rumble. Devil, I want you to know you will not win because I will fight. I may be crawling,
I may be beat down. My spirit may be broken. My steps may be plodding and slow. But I will get back up and I will fight. You will not win. Oh, somebody lift your voice and praise the Lord right now. Somebody's going to walk out of here with some fight in your spirit. Somebody shout, fight!
Fight!
But if you allow it, your enemy will force you into a corner. Keep you shivering in fear. Because hell hates fighters. Because the devil knows the only way he wins is if you refuse to fight. Isaiah showed up and saw the people of God. And when he saw what the enemy had done to them, that old prophet got angry. And he said in Isaiah 1, he said, the whole head is sick. The whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot even to the head, there's no soundness in it. But wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They've not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land, strangers devoured in your presence. And it's desolate as overthrown by strangers. He said, you've got open wounds. You have not even tried to close them. You hadn't even put a Band-Aid on it. Didn't even smear some Neosporin on it, y'all. What's going on? Your enemies are burning your houses down while you sit back and watch. They're eating your crops in front of you while you starve. Isaiah was shocked. And he said, are you going to let the devil attack you and do nothing about it? Just going to run up your white flag and surrender? Sounds kind of like Psalm 78 and 9. Ephraim, these men were armed. They had bows. They had skills. They had God on their side. But in the day of battle, they turned back, the Bible said. They chose not to fight. And it's when they stopped fighting that the enemy came in and stole the ark. The enemy won because they refused to fight. Why do we let the enemy come against us without doing something about it? Especially understanding that we have authority over all the power of the enemy. Jesus told them, he said, I give you authority to tread, which means to trample. Come on, stomping him on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. We outrank the devil. We, whatever power he's got, ours is greater through Jesus Christ. I got to thinking about this. I was still pastoring in East Tennessee, this whole rank business, and I had a soldier in our church. I went to him. I said, I got to ask some questions. I said, tell me, help me understand rank. I said, how does it work? Where does it come from? He said, we get our rank from the President of the United States. I said, so you get your rank from the highest authority in the land. He said, yes, sir. I said, well, when you outrank someone, do you have to beg them to do something? He said, oh, no, you simply command them. We are children of God. We get our rank from the highest authority in the universe. And when we tell the devil, get your hands off my family, guess what he's got to do? When we... Oh, come on. Somebody needs to understand. You're not some fly-by-night nobody. You're a child of God with authority, with anointing. Open your mouth and start fighting. Start commanding. Somebody shout, fight! We let the devil beat us up all the time. I had a situation, had a young man wanting to come with me to Germany several, this was years ago, I was pastoring somewhere in the world. And the young man, he was faithful, he gave to missions faithfully, and he was so excited about going on this missions trip. And he was going to go with me to Germany. He had planned it for 6 months. His boss had told him 6 months ahead. He'd already bought his tickets. We were going. And he comes in my office one Sunday morning, oh, about 10 days before we're going to leave, and he's just tore up. He's crying. He said, Pastor, you're not going to believe this. My boss just walked in yesterday and said, hey, sorry, you're not going to Germany. I said, what was the issue? He said, he wouldn't tell me. He said, listen, I've already bought tickets, man. You told me 6 months ago. He said, I'm sorry, you're not going. He said, so Pastor, I don't know what to tell you, but I knew it was the will of God for this young man to go. And something rose up in me. I said, what's his number? He said, why? I said, just give me his number. What are you going to do? I said, just give me his number. I didn't know what I was going to do, to be honest. I got the guy on the phone, and I said, listen, my name's Bobby Lewis. I pastor one of the finest young men on the planet, and you told him a long time ago that he could go on this trip to Germany, and now you're stopping him. I said, I want you to understand that it's the will of God for this young man to go on this trip. God's going to do something in him, and you're trying to stand in the way. I said, so here's the deal. Either you let him go, or I'm going to be praying that within 7 days that you are out of that position and somebody's in that position that will let him go on this trip. Now, listen, preacher, I don't know. I said, God bless you, and I'll talk to you later. And I hung up the phone. 7 days later, that young man walked in. He said, man, you're not going to believe what happened. He said, I walked in work today. And he said, I was standing there. Everybody was kind of humming around the water cooler. And he said, have y'all heard what's going on? And know what happened? He said, we walked in today. And the big boss walked in, fired our current boss on the spot, put somebody else in. And you know what? That new guy said, hey, you've had this trip planned. You go ahead and go. I'm here to tell somebody it's time you start fighting. It's time you open your mouth and start letting hell know you ain't gonna win, Jack. Oh, somebody ought to open your mouth right now and start letting the devil know it's over. Your reign is over. I wish my son was here. We went through a season when I was pastoring. Hell began to attack me. I fought my way through it. Finally, I was standing up. And he began to attack my wife. She fought her way through it. Finally, she was standing up. And I'll never forget my son. He was just little. And we were out up downtown somewhere near Memphis. And the hospital was close enough that he started choking. He couldn't breathe. And he hadn't eaten anything. We didn't know what it was. So we ran him into the hospital. We run in. I'm holding my little boy. He's struggling for breath. And the nurses come running. And I'm like, we don't know what to do. And I'm standing there holding my son. And he started to turn purple. And I started weeping, and the Holy Ghost kind of gave me a picture of how the enemy had been attacking me, and then my wife. Now he was attacking my children, and I realized this is a spiritual situation. So they had run off to get the doctors. We gathered around my little boy who was turning purple, and out loud, right there in that emergency room, we began to raise our voices, and we began to command the devil to get his hands off our son in the name of Jesus. Right now, Satan, you turn my boy loose. I command your airwaves to open and begin to breathe in Jesus' name. And God right there, boom, he got his breath. We didn't even have to see the doctor. I'm telling you, we have power and authority, but we've got to use it. Fight, 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 fight. Come on, somebody. The only way hell wins is if you stop fighting. Devil, you think I'm going to let you attack my family while I just sit here? You think you're going to destroy my youth group and I just sit back? You think you're going to tear my body apart without me having a prayer meeting or attack my marriage while I just twiddle my thumbs? No, sir. There's some things worth fighting for. You got to fight for your promise. You got to fight for your healing. You got to fight for your anointing. You got to fight for your family. You got to fight for your marriage. You got to fight for your ministry.
The enemy of our soul has a long history of intimidating God's people to the point they're afraid to fight. Pastor May, if you get ready for me. Judges chapter 6 is a story, very powerful story. Listen to this, verse 2.
And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel.
Midian prevailed against Israel. Now, the word Midian means brawling or contentious. They were brawlers. Oh, their enemy were brawlers. And because they were brawlers, keep reading.
And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds.
Wait a minute. Their enemy was fighting them, so they ran and hid. The Midianites, these brawlers, were hitting them so hard and had them so scared that the children of Israel built themselves dens and caves. They built their own hiding places. They stopped fighting and started hiding. That's just how hell wins. When we stop fighting and we start hiding. Read on. Go with me now to verse 3.
And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass.
Come on, these people are coming against everything they've got. Keep reading.
For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number.
I don't know if you've ever felt like that before, that seemed like hell was coming against you, and there was more of them than you could shake a stick at. I don't know about you, but my problems never show up by themselves. Can I get away? I mean, when my problems drive up, it's like a clown car. The stuff just keeps getting out. That's what was happening here. Keep reading verse 6.
And they entered into the land to destroy, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites.
And I watched this. It said they were greatly impoverished. That means to be brought low or to begin to fade. But that's exactly what the devil wants. He wants to come against you so hard and with such force that you just give in and you begin to be brought so low that you begin to fade off the scene. That's exactly where the hell wants you, off the scene. Keep reading verse 11.
And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which is in Ophrah, and pertained unto Joash the Abrazite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites.
So God said, okay, my people are hiding. They're afraid. They've stopped fighting. What am I going to do? God started looking for a fighter. And guess what? He found one. And guess where he was? He was hiding. He's over there behind him, trying to get him some wheat threshed so that the enemy doesn't see it. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Gideon's like, what are you talking about? Read verse 13 for me.
And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us?
If God's really with us, why is all this happening? It's the children of Israel sat cramped in their cold caves of their own making. Some of y'all are in some caves tonight that you created yourself. There's some situations you got yourself into. And as they sat in those caves, they were starving. They whined and complained, saying, why is this happening? What else did they say?
And where be all his miracles?
Where are all the miracles? I don't understand. Well, how come miracles ain't happening for us these days? I just don't get it. Why? Because you're hiding. You stop fighting. Keep reading.
Which our fathers told us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?
Where's the deliverance? So here they are whining and complaining. And they were saying, hey, where's the miracles at? How come we're not being brought out? How come all this is happening to us? You know why? They had refused to fight. They had gotten cowered into the corner, fearful of their enemy. But then in the next verse, in verse 14, the Lord says, go in this thy might. Listen, God was not saying go shake hands. He was saying get out of your cave and go fight. And once they decided to fight, they put the enemy on the run. When they decided to brawl with the brawlers, when they decided to stop hiding and start fighting, the enemy ran. I feel like a schoolyard bully today. I want somebody to understand the devil's coming out. What you gonna do about it? The devil's trying to fight your marriage. How are you gonna treat that? Come on, did you see what he said about you? Did you? Oh, come on, how bad does it have to get before you get stirred up enough to fight? How ugly does your life have to get before you respond? How long does the devil have to shove you around before you bow up and start fighting back? Come on, how bad does your marriage have to get? How ugly does your situation have to get? I want somebody to get irritated enough to come out of your corner and start fighting. Provoked enough tonight to stop the devil from having free reign in your life. What's it gonna take for you to start fighting? On even the stories we tell our Sunday school kids, they're all about fights. Come on, think about that. All about fights. I like that story that we all love about the young man that killed the giant. Everybody knows that story. Come on, Sunday school age kids can tell you that story. You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about Abishai killing Ishbibenob. You know that one, right? I bet you're probably thinking about Jonathan, the son of Shimei, that slayed his giant. I know. You're probably thinking of Elhanan, the young man who killed Goliath's brother. Or maybe it's Sibekai who slew the giant named Saph. Samuel records a lot of young people killing giants, but the only ones that our mind goes to is David slaying Goliath. Why? Because it had never been done before. It was impossible. Goliath had the entire nation of Israel hiding in fear, afraid to fight. From King Saul on his throne to the soldier on the front line, they were terrified and scared and hiding and refused to fight. But it only took one anointed teenager who decided, I'm tired of the way the enemy is coming against my people. And that one young man changed the destiny and the mindset of Israel forever. It was more than David simply killing a giant. There was a message that David sent to the devil. He said, I'm tired of being passive. We're tired of hiding away in fear. We're tired of living in caves. And we know the only way you win is if we don't fight. Do you understand that David's actions ushered in a brand new era in Israel? After David killed his giant, you never hear of Israel backing down from giants again. You never hear them hiding in caves from giants again. Instead, all over Israel, young people started killing giants. Elhanan said, hey, where's Goliath's brother at? Abishai said, hey, you better leave me a giant. Jonathan said, oh, save one for me, boys. There's somebody's actions in this house tonight that are going to usher in a new season and a new era in your church. Your church will never be the same when you start fighting. Somebody's going to see you fighting, and they're going to start fighting with you. And when you start to fight, the devil always loses. It's time somebody fight the lies the enemy's whispered to you. Hell is telling some of you your best years are behind you. He's telling you your family ain't never coming in. He's telling you you might as well stop praying for your healing. He's telling you your marriage is never going to get better. He's saying you've made too many mistakes to be used of God. He's telling you your pastor doesn't love you. He's telling you your church family doesn't care about you. He's telling you you'll never kick that habit. You'll always be an addict. Oh, but somebody ought to get up, put their gloves on, and let the devil know. I'm ready to fight. Hey, giant killer, you were created to be the head and not the tail. You were created to be the lender and not the borrower. You were created to be blessed in the city, to be blessed in the field, to be blessed going out, and to be blessed coming in. And somebody needs to get tired of the devil telling you otherwise. You were created to walk in liberty. You weren't just made to be free. You were made to be free indeed. Come on, you've been cleansed. You've been washed. You've been made guilt-free. You've been sanctified. You've been justified. You've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. You were not created to cower in fear and hide in a cave. Stand with me, please. Deuteronomy 2, Brother May. For those who won't fight for fear of failure, or because you tried it once and got beat down, or because your giant is taunting you, What if I could prove to you through the scripture, the forever settled word of God, that if that you will win if you'll just get back up and fight? Some of you don't understand, Brother Lewis, what I've been going through. Oh no. I know if you'll fight, you'll win. But you can't sit back and cower. You go through your Bible, you'll find that over and over and over, the enemy did his best to get them hiding in fear. In these last days, you know what this world needs? It's not a group of young people hiding and afraid to be who you are as a child of God. This world needs to see young people with their shoulders squared and their head up, living for God with authority and anointing and power. Israel had been in a cave again. They'd been pushed back, but they began to fight. And watch what happened. Listen to what happens in Deuteronomy 2:36.
From Arir, which is by the brink of the river of Arnon, and from the city that is by the river, even unto Gilead, there was not one city too strong for us.
Oh, did y'all catch that? He said, everywhere we went, it didn't matter where we went, as long as we were fighting, there wasn't one city too strong for us. Hear me, if you'll fight, you will win. There's no devil too strong. There's no addiction too strong. There's no disease too strong. There's no stronghold secure enough. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph. We're here to let the devil know we're not cowering in the corner anymore. To let the devil know my days of surrender are over. To let the accuser of the brethren know we're ready to rumble. And I got some bad news, hell. When I decide to fight, the gates of hell shall not prevail against me. If God be for us, if God be for us, if God be for us, why in the world? Oh, come on now. Why in the world are you hiding in a cave? If God be for us, you ought to fight. I'll tell you what, here's the deal. This altar's the boxing ring. Your seat, your hiding place, your corner, your cave. I wonder who's ready to fight now. Yeah. Listen, I'm calling for somebody to come out of your corner and face a giant. To set aside your fears and fight. To put down your phone and fight. To power down your computer and punch the devil. To get off Facebook and fight. Hello, somebody needs to punch lust in the mouth. Somebody needs to bust depression over the head. Somebody needs to kick confusion right in the gut. Somebody needs to punch inferiority right in the face. Devil, I'm about to pray. What you gonna do about it? I'm about to dance a little bit. What you gonna do about it? I'm about to run the aisle. What you gonna do about it? If you'll fight, you will win. Come on, somebody, open your mouth. We're going to fight by worshiping him right now. We're going to fight by praising him right now. Come on, clap your hands, all you people. Come on, there's a pastor that needs to get in this aisle. Get a hold of your sweet wife and stand out in the aisle and just start worshiping God. Because you're going to make it if you'll fight. The devil's got you in a corner. But I'm telling you, if you'll fight, you will win. Come on, somebody, get your boxing gloves on. Come on, somebody, you've been sitting around quiet long enough. Open your mouth right now. Come on. Come on, somebody. Well, I don't know what you're waiting on. Come on, it's time for you to fight. This is your fight. This is your battle. This is your war. Fight. 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 The only way the devil wins is if you stop fighting. Oh, come on, somebody.
No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that I
will. You will not win, devil, because I'm going to fight.
No matter what the weapon is, I want you to know that I will.
Ministry in this place and the adults in this place to push your way into this crowd. I want you to get a hold of one of these young people and I want you to show them how to fight a little while. Come on, I want you to lay hands on them. Get a hold of them. We're going to help somebody press out of some junk. We're going to help somebody press into something powerful. Come on, we're going to teach them. Come on, just press your way in. Come on, push your way in. Please help me. Ministry especially. But everybody, come on, mamas, help me. Get in here, find one of these young ladies. Come on, we're going to help them win.
Don't you ever win? If I believe, I
I call your